We've traveled through the Old Testament this fall, more like maybe skipping a rock across the water, touching down just a few times. But today we come to the climax of Israel's story. Jesus' disciples knew the stories of the Old Testament. One time, James and John, I think they were probably thinking about Elijah when this happened, if you can remember some of his stories a few weeks ago. The little band of Jesus' followers is traveling to Jerusalem, and they go through a Samaritan village. They ask for lodging there just for the night for their little group, and the villagers refuse them. They won't give them a place to stay. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? As the start of another story some years before. And James and John, again, maybe thinking about Elijah, march right up to Jesus and say, "Would you like for us to call down fire from heaven onto this village? Call down fire from heaven. Just burn it up." Sounds very Old Testamentish to them, I guess, doesn't it? That's what's in their mind, maybe. Jesus' response to James and John's solution to their lodging problems, which is only good for once each village, is, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus doesn't have a normal response to rejection, does he? On another occasion, these very same brothers ask if, when Jesus is finally enthroned as King of Israel, if he would install them at his right hand and his left hand in that moment. These two believe Jesus is the Messiah, the King of Israel, but they've got some pretty big misconceptions. Jesus' answer to them at that moment is just as abnormal as his what he said about the foxes and the birds. He says, "Those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." To give his life a ransom for many. It must have been mind-boggling for these two guys to hear Jesus talk like this. How can a king be a servant? And what's this about their Messiah king giving his life as a ransom for many? James and John may have known a lot about the Old Testament, those stories ringing in their ears, but they didn't understand Isaiah, did they? When Jesus says the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many, do you recognize it? He was quoting Isaiah 53, wasn't he? What Monica just read to us. "By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. He will bear their iniquities." The prophet Isaiah had said that Israel would be called to be the light of the world. But James and John's plan for being light of the world was an extension of the darkness. Do evil in order to defeat evil. Jesus says, you don't defeat a monster by becoming a monster. James and John have a distorted vision of God and God's purposes. They're like firemen who think the way you put out fires is to go become arsonists. Isaiah has a vision of the suffering of Israel itself, somehow bringing about the salvation of the whole world. And in Jesus, we believe that suffering was focused upon one man as a representative of the nation, a representative of all nations, all people of the world, a new kind of king, a king who wouldn't choose the world's way, of power. A king who would choose to step away from violence and force and rule through the power of suffering and love. Instead of keeping evil in circulation by passing it on, Jesus would take evil on himself. There's this old Scottish folk tale about how the fox gets rid of his fleas. So the fox goes through the field and he picks up little bits of sheep's wool all along the way. He picks it up all through the field until finally he's got a nice clump and he forms it into a ball and he holds it right at the end of his mouth. And then he starts looking for water. He goes to the stream and he begins to walk very slowly into the water. First his legs are covered, then it's up to his belly. He keeps going farther and farther into the depths of the water. Now it's up over his back, just his head above the water, and still he goes deeper and deeper into the stream. He goes until just the tip of his mouth is out of the water. And right before he steps completely in and submerges himself, he lets go of that little ball of wool, and it floats down the stream, and it carries all of his fleas with him. And that little ball. And the fox emerges from the stream clean, pure again. Jesus became for us that ball of wool. He allowed the evil of the world to do its very worst to him, to concentrate itself on him and for us to be able to emerge from the water clean and new. It's ironic, isn't it, that at this season of the year, when we start to think about little babies, and did you hear the children when Crystal brought out the little Jesus? Oh, and there's a lot of so much beauty in this world. I think it's just amazingly ironic that we then at the same time bring out symbols like the poinsettia, whose red leaves remind us of the other end of this story, of Jesus and his sacrifice, his giving himself and allowing evil to do its worst to him, blood shed for us. This is a king's table, but it's a very different sort of king. And those who gather around this table do so in order to follow Jesus. But we live in a world where evil is still active, still working its destructive ways. As Pat said, every day war is raging somewhere in the world. How then this vision of a time when spears will be turned into plows? What role do followers of Jesus have in a world still contested by evil? Well, here's what Christians from James and John through the years have given to us. They've delivered to us that if we follow Jesus, we can't pass evil along. We can't keep evil in circulation in the world. Instead, we've got to pursue God's ways through Christ's methods. We've got to accept the life that comes with following a suffering servant. We've got to become for the world what Jesus was for us. Refusing to return evil for evil, determining only to give love, even to our enemies. Isaiah's suffering servant has become, we have come to believe, the only true bringer of hope to humanity. As we gather around this table, let us pray for the courage and the faith to follow the King Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God.
Let us pray for the bread. God, we thank you for the bread of life, given so we might enjoy life with you and renewed life with your creation. By eating this bread, we commit to leave behind the ways of this world, which have corrupted the life you would have for us. We commit to allowing you to shape us into the image of Christ, your image in the world, and to see other human beings as they truly are, your creation, Lord, whom you love. Bless us as we share this bread. Amen.
Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, and one fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For you did awesome things that we did not expect. You came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for God.
Pray for the cup, please. God, we thank you for the fruit of the vine, given so we may rejoice in the promises of a new king and a new kingdom. Help us allow Christ to take his rightful place in our lives, guiding us with his word, teaching us with his ways. May we worship and follow Christ alone, who ransomed us from death, and may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Bless us as we drink this fruit of the vine. Amen.
You come to help those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against your ways, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. Like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people.